All right, I have a story to tell. And it might not go over well with everyone, and I apologize for that ahead of time. But I hope you'll listen to the rest of the sermon after. So the story is about a man who moved into a small town, and he went to the local tavern, and there he ordered 3 beers. And the bartender poured the 3 beers and set it on his table, and the man sat there and spent the next hour or so drinking those 3 beers. And when he had finished them, he signaled the bartender and ordered 3 more. And so the bartender did that, and then the man left for the evening, and he came back a couple nights later and again ordered 3 beers. And a little later in the evening, ordered 3 more, even though it was just him sitting at the table. Well, the people started to get curious, so the bartender finally asked, "Why is it you order 3 beers when there's only one of you?" And the man said, "Well, I have 2 brothers, and 1 lives in England, and 1 lives in Australia. And so we agreed that whenever we go out to drink, we would order a beer for each of us. It would make us feel like we're still family." Well, the bartender was very touched, and people were very, in this small town, were very impressed, and he became known as the 3-beer man. Well, months later, the man came in, and he ordered only 2 beers. And the bartender filled the 2 beers and had a very heavy heart, and when he brought the 2 beers over to the table, he said, "I am so sorry at your brother's passing." And the man said, "What do you mean, my brother passing?" Well, the bartender said, "Well, you only ordered 2 beers. I just assumed that meant one of your brothers was gone." And he goes, "No, my brothers are fine. I'm just giving up beer for Lent." Okay. I share that only because this is the season of Lent, and many give up something for Lent, don't they? It's part of what our understanding of Lent is about, that we give something up. So what are you giving up for Lent, might be the question. If you grew up Catholic or in a Catholic neighborhood, this was the topic of conversation every year about this time. And in fact, I would guess that in most of our society, this is the singular thing that's known about Lent. Oh yeah, Lent is that time when Christians give up something. And while Lent is so much more than giving up meat or chocolate or even beer, it is something that is worth exploring, what Lent is about, if it's not just that. So this year, I've decided to explore, focus on the idea of making Lent meaningful. I would guess and say that most Christians today don't really know what to do with Lent, particularly those who didn't grow up Catholic, but even Catholics, I think, struggle with it. We know that it is in some way special. We know that it is 40 days long, because that's how long Jesus stayed in the wilderness after his baptism and before he was tempted by the devil in the scripture we read this morning. I'll note as a side note, for those who are counting, Lent is actually 46 days long from Ash Wednesday to Easter, but we don't count Sundays in those 40 days. So 40 non-Sunday days. We know that in some way back then, Lent was a meaningful period of time for Christians, and yet we wonder, is it still meaningful for us today? And so I thought during Lent this year we might take a look on what would make Lent meaningful for us, and what better place to start than with this whole giving up thing. I mean, what are we supposed to do with that? Do we give up something bad for Lent and thereby improve our bodies, our health, and our lives? something like sweets maybe? Or do we give up something that is good for us as a sign of true sacrifice, like meat on Friday among the Catholics? Do we have to give up a food item? Maybe it'd be better to give up television for Lent, or Facebook, or heaven forbid, Twitter. And then there are those who insist that instead of giving up something for Lent, we should take something on, you know, like reading the Bible every day, or visiting people in a nursing home, or helping at a soup kitchen. And then there are those who say, why bother? And that's the question we need to ask of Lent. Why bother? Why is it a holiday of the church? Well, Lent goes back almost as far as the church does. In the earliest days of the church, Christians went through long periods of preparation. Those who would want to be Christian went through long periods of preparation before they were baptized and fully welcomed into the church. And that last period of preparation was the sort of morphed into the 40 days before Easter. And on Easter morning at sunrise, they would be baptized and become members of the church. And so for those 40 days, and again, 40 days being the number of days Jesus spent in the wilderness, these new would-be Christians would be spend their time in prayer and in study and in worship and in fasting. It wasn't long before it was decided that what's good for these new Christians would be good for all Christians, and so all members of the church were encouraged to go through a 40-day period of preparation for Easter, sort of to spruce up one's Christian practices. And fasting was part of that. After a while, fasting became sort of forced into giving up meat for Lent. And the Roman Catholic Church had their members give up meat for the season of Lent. That eventually got shortened to giving it up just on Fridays for Lent, and thus you have the Friday fish fry, which I saw on the news they were actually advertising. And so we have this idea of giving something up for Lent based in this idea of fasting, of giving something up as part of a spiritual practice. Now, fasting was as much part of the practice of faith since the earliest times. Fasting is part of spirituality in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness where he fasted. It was a common practice in the early church. It was seen as a means of spiritual purification, of showing repentance from sins, as a way of empowering one's prayer life, and as a way, particularly when done as a church or a group, of discerning God's will. Fasting took several forms, from total absence of food for a limited period of time. Sometimes it was giving up a meal on a regular basis, like not eating lunch for a week. Other times it was abstinence from particular foods, again like meat. But whatever form it took, fasting was seen as an important spiritual practice. And the concept of giving up something for Lent came out of this spiritual practice. Through the Middle Ages, fasting during Lent evolved into this practice of giving up something as a sacrifice for Lent. Of course, one of the problems and challenges of any spiritual practice is it can lose its spiritual mooring. Jesus talked about the Pharisees heaping up empty prayers and the rich giving money to show off. Fasting, too, began to lose its spiritual anchor through the years, to the point where giving something up for Lent was as much a game as it was a spiritual practice. Like the man I heard of recently who was giving up his girlfriend for Lent. as he put it, I like my girlfriend, you know, you have to give up something you like for Lent. Don't know how she felt about that. But fasting still has a place on the list of Christian spiritual practices. And it's one we ought to consider, especially during this season of spiritual renewal known as Lent. If one wanted to do a full-fledged fast for Lent, I would certainly ask that one check with their doctor or medical person to make sure that it's a smart thing for you or your body. Fast is not meant to be harmful. Second, you might want to choose a simple form of fasting, like maybe giving up lunches one day a week during Lent, making that a time when you feel a sense of hunger as you go through the day. It's important to see it as a spiritual practice, so I would encourage you, if you gave up lunch, not to make lunch something you work through then, but a time of prayer. A time of prayer to remind yourself why it is you're fasting in the first place. If we wanted to expand that, one could take the money that they would have spent on lunch and give it to a soup kitchen so that someone who is truly hungry might be fed. And if you do choose to do a fast like this, it can be a helpful way of focusing on God. As you feel the pangs of hunger, you can pray that you will have the same pangs of spiritual hunger for God. Because that certainly was one of the purposes of fasting, to remind ourselves how much we need God. Like the Israelites in the wilderness, and the other passage that Janet read this morning, God led people into the wilderness so they might be reminded that they are dependent on God. Fasting does the same thing, reminds us of our dependence on God. Now, for those for whom a complete fasting is not part of the picture, I invite you to consider the idea of giving up something for Lent. And I suggest you give up something that makes a difference, something you might crave if you miss it. And if fasting causes you to have hunger pangs for God, then giving something up should bring about a similar response. So maybe you decide to give up chocolate for Lent, which I read was the number one thing people give up for Lent. So if you love chocolate, it'll be hard to give up chocolate. You might even be addicted to chocolate, you'll discover. And beyond that, you'll be tempted to eat some chocolate because chocolate is all around, isn't it? There's chocolate in candy bars at the checkout counter, not just at the grocery store and the drugstore, but at the Home Depot store, at the Kohl's. It's everywhere. There is chocolate desserts on the menu of every restaurant. There are ads for chocolate on TV, especially with Easter coming up. You're going to see chocolate bunnies and chocolate eggs in your sleep. Giving up chocolate can be challenging, but it also can make a good spiritual exercise. Every time you feel a craving for chocolate, say a prayer, asking for the strength to resist. The ability to resist the temptation of chocolate during Lent can then carry over into resisting other forms of temptation. Because that is indeed the spiritual exercise we're talking about, as Jesus prepared in the wilderness before his temptations, before the devil. We can learn to resist temptations, all forms, particularly ones much more serious in their consequences than eating chocolate. Also, when you feel the desire for chocolate, ask yourself if you desire God as much as you desire chocolate. Think about it. Do we crave God as much as we crave those things like chocolate that we love? And what would it mean if you did? Thus, you turn what might be into just a fun exercise into a powerful spiritual experience. And this practice doesn't have to be limited to food. You might ask yourself what other things you crave after, like maybe television which was also high on the list of what people give up to Lent. What would it mean to give up television for Lent? I'll bet it can be as hard as giving up chocolate. But the same spiritual exercises apply. Pray to resist the temptation to watch television. Consider how television gets in your way of experiencing God. By the way, I am not against adding on something to Lent, but I will address that issue later during the season of Lent. But in the meantime, it is not too late to consider giving something up for Lent. Chocolate, television, meals, any and all might work as long as we gain something from what we are giving up, from the sacrifices it invites. And I hope what you gain is a greater awareness of the importance of God in your life. As we read in the Deuteronomy passage, He humbled you by letting you hunger, then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors, with which neither you or your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. That is the real question fasting brings about. What is it we live by? We certainly need to live by food, by the air we breathe, by water, by shelter. But we live by something more, don't we? We live by the word that the Lord provides. May you discover that word this Lenten season. Amen.